all you people partying and really going through the marathon of the day, partying, drinking, smoking weed. Good luck to you today. We're thinking of you.
It's
you
a can do it. Day.
Our heart is with you. They've been training all year for this one.
Welcome back to the DFL Debrief. I'm Ken Martin, your host. Joining me as always is William Davis. William,
hello, how are you? Hello, everybody. I'm doing great. Beautiful weekend in Minneapolis this weekend.
You know, I've been meaning to ask you for years. I've never asked. Do you ever go by Bill?
No. No.
What about Willie?
Not Willie for sure. Bill is my dad, but back before, a long time ago, a lot of friends call me Bill. So I still have a couple that call me that. And I don't like it.
That's crazy.
That's my dad.
That's your dad.
And when I was tracking Republicans, I went as Bill.
Oh,
also.
That's right. We forgot about that.
Way back when.
Very creative. I'll just go by Bill. Won't know that it's Will Davis.
Completely Bill incognito. Davis. Yep.
And you have no, like, second, third connection to the Davis family, not the Marty Davis.
Clearly, I do not. I think that should speak for itself, Darwin.
He'd be sitting on his yacht somewhere
that's
in the Mediterranean.
It's the ultimate double agent plot funded by Marty Davis.
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That, you saying he's a sleeper spy in that this place for 8 years?
He was deep
undercover for 8 years.
He
at
had
the
to
DFL.
Build his cover by, you know, making sure that Keith Ellison won re-election so that he
can
would
I
be situated.
Interest you in some countertops, by the way. Yeah. Beautiful quartz.
I love it. And always, as always, joining us, of course, is Darwin Forsyth. Darwin, how are you?
Thriving as always, Ken.
Excellent. Madison, welcome back.
Thanks, yeah. I came this time because it's Darwin's birthday.
Woo! What?
He's probably
happy
annoyed
birthday.
I just said that, but I don't care.
Darwin.
I put DFL birthday as our first topic as a front.
Darwin, happy birthday.
Thank you, Ken.
Are you 22?
23? I'm 22 going on 12. Yeah, exactly. I've been told that I have, that I'm a 5-year-old trapped in the body of like a 3-year-old or something like that.
Oh,
I think we could also say you're an 85-year-old.
I was going to say you're an 80. You're more like
I've
an
gotten
80.
That too. Right. Yeah.
I said that this weekend about you because you are the only. You're 30 years old now. You are the only 30-year-old I know that is actually a birder.
Yeah.
We were talking about a lot of birds.
We were talking about birds, and I said that. I said, Darwin literally is the only 30-year-old I know that is actually likes bird watching. Not that it's bad. Bird watching is great. Mm-hmm. That's fine if you're a, what is it called when you like birds?
Octogenarian.
There's a word for it.
Ornithologist. Ornithologist studies birds. I don't know if you can get for just liking birds.
Okay.
Well, whatever it's called, a bird nerd.
Bird nerd. Bird nerd.
Indeed.
I like it.
I'll own that label.
But you know what's interesting? Like the DFL, your birthday falls on tax day.
Yes.
Congratulations. Wow. Both the DFL and Darwin Forsyth born on tax day.
Wow.
How ironic.
How unbelievably appropriate all of that is. That's incredible.
As a liberal atheist born and raised in Washington, D.C.
Named Darwin.
Who works in Democratic politics. Mm-hmm. So I'm exactly 50 years younger than the DFL, which is celebrating its 80th birthday today.
80 years, Ken. You've been chair for most of that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
That look. Ken founded the DFL.
In 1944. Me and Joe Biden right there.
But since we're Democrats leading off our podcast episode talking about taxes and tax day, it is actually important to note that today, this wasn't even in the outline today, but today is the last day to file your taxes and also the last day to file to claim your Minnesota child tax credit in Minnesota. It is the strongest child tax credit in the country, thanks to DFL leaders, and you have to file your taxes to qualify for it.
Yep, and it's the largest in the country. It will help. It's already helping to cut child poverty in half in this state. It's going to have an immense benefit, and so a lot of people qualify for it. And so make sure you file today.
That's right.
Yep, April 15th. So moving on from DFL birthday today, Tim Sheehy, What do we know about Tim Sheehy?
This is great stuff. Go ahead, Darwin.
So Tim Sheehy is a Republican Senate candidate running for office in Montana.
Yep.
And he has a surprisingly local angle here in Minnesota. He is been telling a quote-unquote Working Ranch radio podcast that he grew up in rural Minnesota, sort of burnishing his rural bona fides in Montana. That's obviously like a, you know, key thing. He's not a city kid. Do you want to take some guesses on where he grew up? Go around the table here.
Okay. And he's rural?
Yeah, rural Minnesota.
Pipestone.
Pipestone. Good guess. Ken, any thoughts?
Rural Coon Rapids.
Oh. Well, have you heard of the very, very small town of Shoreview?
I used Shoreview, to go to their water park when I was a kid.
That's a small rural town he's from, Shoreview.
Yep. Now, like,
Shoreview, Minnesota.
Maybe he, like, commuted to, like, a rural school. Maybe there's, like, a, you know, he opened and enrolled to a public school. So, like, does anyone want to take guesses as, like, you know, a mitigating school that he might have enrolled in here?
Is it Hill? Please tell me he went to Hill Murray or something crazy like that.
Is that your guess?
Sure, yeah.
All right. Ken, where did Tim Sheehy go to school?
Roseville.
Centennial, I have no idea.
Yeah. St. Paul Academy.
Oh. He's a spa kid.
Oh, my
gosh. Oh, my gosh. You can barely find that on a map. That's incredible.
Well, but the fact is it's a very elite private school in St. Paul. It's very expensive to attend. It is a little bit of a trek from Shoreview, I suppose, but it's not a rural.
Please tell me he lived in North Oaks, too.
Yeah, did he live in North Oaks?
He lived in Shoreview.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, interesting. For those of you folks who are not from Minnesota, Shoreview is about 8 minutes from Minneapolis. I mean, it takes no time at all. There's nothing rural about it whatsoever.
It is a suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Right.
It is a fairly wealthy suburb. Lots of money up there with the lakes.
Indeed.
But that's crazy.
Wow. He must have chopped logs and used an outhouse out in Shoreview back then. He's a young guy, too, so this was not that long ago that he grew up.
Yeah, exactly. Tim Sheehy grew up in a log cabin that he himself built.
Indeed. If you want to know more about that, there was an article in the Daily Beast, I believe.
Yes, the Daily Beast did an excellent job. Their investigative team has been killing it for a few years now.
I wonder if that'll break through in Montana.
Yeah.
Make some news.
If I were John Tester's campaign, I'd be having a field day with this right now. So, John Tester, if you need Ken Martin as a surrogate, he has plenty of free time to travel over the next 2 weeks, as Madison will tell you. So,
we'll
stump for you. SPA alums
Good stuff.
Tim Sheehy.
Today's also a big day because Donald Trump is back in the courtroom again.
Yes.
Who? Donald J. Trump, he's a... he's a very successful businessman from New York. He's earned every dime he's gotten.
There you go.
Yeah. Trump is facing his first of several trials for felony criminal behavior. He's already been found civilly liable for sexual assault, for, you know, just business fraud in New York. This is his first felony criminal trial of several cases. And he is, for anyone who has not already learned this, on trial for falsifying business records in pursuit of covering up a campaign finance violation of paying hush money to porn stars before the election.
Mm-hmm. So this weekend, some Republicans went on some of the cable news shows and faced some questions about this trial and would it change their mind? They're the party of law and order, allegedly. Would this convince them otherwise? And here is Republican Governor Sununu.
So just to sum up, you would support him for president even if he's convicted in classified documents. You support him for president even though you believe he contributed to an insurrection. You support him for president even though you believe he's lying about the last election. You support him for president even if he's convicted in the Manhattan case. I just want to say the answer to that is yes, correct?
Yeah, me and 51% of America.
Wow. Courage of his convictions.
That was Sununu?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That was John Sununu, yep. Well, completely debasing himself on national TV with George Stephanopoulos.
Well, he joins the ranks. The reason I'm having this real-time reaction to learning that was Sununu is because, like, he made this whole thing.
Was it John Sununu or Chris Sununu, the son?
Chris, New Hampshire governor, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris
Sununu. Okay. Well, here's the deal. That's exactly what I was going to say, and that's why I was going to ask the question, who said that, because Chris Sununu has been, over the last year, really litigating the case against Donald Trump, right? I think he supported Chris Christie. I think he supported other candidates at one point, Nikki Haley. Yep. He supported anyone but Trump, and he made it very clear at the time that he would not support Donald Trump. So it's like what we said last week on this radio show or on this podcast, right? We talked about the fact that Donald Trump knows that every one of these folks will bend their knee to him and kiss the ring when they need to. And once again, these guys have absolutely no spine to spend a whole year campaigning against this guy and then to bend right now at this time. It's just crazy. And by the way, 51% of Americans don't support the that is Donald
That's
Trump.
Right.
The reality is he would never, he didn't win with the majority of votes. He didn't win with the majority of the popular vote. He didn't, the idea that 51% of Americans support this guy is absurd.
Yeah.
One thing we talked about on our last episode was how, you know, thoroughly embarrassed Tom Emmer has made himself, how much Tom Emmer has embarrassed himself in his relentless attempt to try and gain favor with a guy who clearly and has publicly admitted he enjoys humiliating him. And this is just sort of like the latest extension of this on a national scale here in a way that, like, you know, I obviously self-interested here, but like you do not see with the Democratic Party when we have candidates who are this egregiously, you know, unbecoming or unfit for office. Like our voters can be counted on to reject them and make sure they don't get that far.
I think you called it embarrassment kink last week.
Yeah, and
I
humiliation kink.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Extremely true. But what I was going to say is when you look back in history, that interview is going to be there forever. And he's going to be remembered for saying this and completely caving on his values and what he allegedly stands for and just bending the knee to a monster like Donald
Trump.
Well,
I think it's also important that we remind people of that. Like, we keep talking about these people double backing on their stances all the time. And so it's like, we got to find these recordings, keep showing them, keep reminding people that they're all just liars. Yep. It's like their whole thing.
And what do you think it is? Is it Chris Sununu afraid of voters in his own state? Is he afraid of Donald Trump going after him publicly?
It's it's kind of purple, New Hampshire. Right.
It's purple, and he's not running for re-election. He's done. It's an open governor's seat.
So that makes even less sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just he like wants a future like cushy career as a Republican contributor or at like some Heritage Foundation AEI think tank, or maybe not AEI, but like, you know, the universe of where Republicans go for cushy post-elected office lifestyles, which is even more craven, in my opinion, than someone who's doing it to hold on to their job as an elected official.
I mean, say what you will, Trump has consolidated his support very quickly after their primaries.
And it's almost hard to imagine how he could do it, given how impossible it is for him to give a coherent speech.
Is it crazy, really? Just this week, it was reported that an illegal alien, and you just look at this, what's happening. Is it crazy?
That
really?
Is not edited.
Just this week, it was reported that an illegal alien, and you just look at this, what's happening.
Wow. So that was one fun one, and then he had
in the same speech.
Yep, he followed up with another fun little, completely incoherent quote.
This is a magazine that I've never read, but probably doesn't like Trump. Left wing is to put it. This is a magazine that I've never read, but probably doesn't like Trump. Left wing is.
A MAGA what?
Magazine I've never read, yeah.
Is that a magazine?
So the reason I added these to our agenda is not because anytime a politician stumbles over their words is because it's some sort of disqualifier.
Right.
The reason I add this is because, you know, one of the things that the Republican Party and, big slap on the wrist here, the D.C. press corps has really leaned into is every time Joe Biden stumbles over a word, just stutters. He has a stutter. That's been very well documented. There are like, you know, 30 stories about whether he's fit for office.
Right.
And almost never do I see any of them wrestle with the idea that, like, even if you accept that premise, which I do not, your alternative is Donald Trump. Like, you're going to bring mental fitness for the presidency back to office by electing this guy?
And going after Biden so hard on that stuff is essentially endorsing Trump's... Everything he does is sort of an endorsement, right? Because
yes.
they're only criticizing one of these guys about that stuff. And they make it seem like he's perfectly fit of mind. And I don't think Trump has been fit of mind his entire life,
yeah.
quite frankly.
I mean... You guys let me know if you've seen anything. The only time I can remember them doing, you know, one of these stories on Trump in the last several months was when he confused Nikki Haley and Nancy Pelosi in like a really egregious way. But other than that, like almost nothing.
You don't see that at all. Do you think the mainstream media is going to be covering him a lot more and a lot more heavier now that we're past the primaries?
I don't know. I do think there's kind of this like apprehension to it because a lot of people talked about in 2016 about giving Trump all of this coverage when it was like, was it warranted? No, they were just talking about how unhinged he was acting, and a lot of people feel like that benefited him. So it's like, I feel like a lot of reporters are trying to like walk that line, but it's also like, it's probably important for us to point out the crazy behavior
again.
I mean, maybe just not in the same way from 2016.
Kudos to the Biden comms team. The, you know, stuff they have to deal with would, you know, give me a full-on Joker moment. So I really appreciate the work they're doing.
Awesome. Well, with that, we're going to take a brief break and come back with You Betcha OGs. And we're back with You Betcha and OGs. Madison Groh.
Yeah.
Who does your... She's like, why are you calling on me?
Oh, great.
Madison Groh, who does your You Betcha for the week go out to?
Mine goes out to the Boston Marathon.
Oh, You Betcha. Yeah.
It's right now, and it's Marathon Monday, which is a very special day if you're a college student in Boston. That means that you are partying hard, and you've been drinking since 7 a.m., and you're going to keep going all day and all night. And I'm thinking about you, keeping you in my heart, and I hope you drink through your marathon safely and with loving friends.
And all you people running, I guess, good luck.
Yeah,
but
good
all
luck,
you people
but...
partying and really going through the marathon of the day, partying, drinking, smoking weed. Good luck to you today. We're thinking of you.
It's
you
a can special do it.
Our heart is with you. They've been training all year for this one.
For real. It's a part of the culture.
Kind of incredible. It's tax day.
Yes.
DFL's birthday, Darwin's birthday, and Marathon Day.
And in Marathon Day in Boston, it's on Patriots Day every day, which is April 15th.
Happy Patriots
Day. Patriots Day.
Very cool. Very cool. What about your OGs of the week?
My OGs goes out to the South Dakota Capitol.
Oh, geez.
Ken and I were there this weekend meeting with legislators, and they told me this fact that I can't stop thinking about. None of the staff at the Capitol, like if you're in the House or the Senate, get staff.
None
like,
of the legislators.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, sorry, none of the legislators get staff, and even their Senate president has an intern. That's it. Even the Republicans.
It doesn't matter if you're in the majority or not. There are no staff that work at the state capitol.
And I just don't know how you build talent or give kids. I don't know. I have a friend out there who lives in South Dakota, and she got her start in politics and, you know, got to go to D.C. and do other things because she did some internships and programs at the Minnesota State House. And, like, her sons she's raising in South Dakota. I'm like, you don't get those opportunities.
How often are they in session? In
it's
South Dakota.
There, it's 40
January.
Days.
Yeah.
And it's
every year?
40 days every year.
Oh, my. That's a lot of time to not have any staff to help with this stuff.
Yeah, and it's all on them, and they don't make a ton of money. And so, yeah, just empower your people. I don't care if they're Republicans or Democrats. How do you expect your state to function if you don't have enough people running it?
Just think about all the people, I mean, since I've been here, that were interns or, you know, even kind of lower-level staff that have gone on to be in the legislature right now or gone to bigger things. That opportunity doesn't exist over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
That's right. Darwin, who does your You Betcha for the week go out to?
My You Betcha for the week goes out to Andrew Wagner.
Oh, You Betcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I think this is the first time.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. In all these years we've been doing this, we've never had the illustrious, distinguished Andrew Wagner, Republican extraordinaire.
My You Betcha is going out to Andrew Wagner because he tweeted recently that the DFL bill to crack down on junk fees and hidden junk fees is a quote-unquote sociopathic move by the DFL. And I swear if the HRCC wants to run against our candidates because they voted against junk fees, You Betcha, Andrew Wagner.
Yes.
I am all for that.
Bring it on.
A very populist message from the Republican House, I he's not even the comms person anymore, right? He's
executive, I think he's their executive director. Yeah. So yeah. He's leading their charge, and they wonder why they are in the minority.
Yes. I mean, takes like that. Andrew, you're promoted to the top in the Republican Party.
I hope you're listening, because I know you think you're this great strategist and brilliant operative, but your record would suggest otherwise, and maybe there's something to it. So you get a You Betcha from Darwin, because we need you to keep going down
keep
these
it
paths.
Up, buddy.
Keep it up.
Wow.
Thank you for all the help.
And your OGs for the week, Darwin.
My OGs goes out to Tad Jude.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Tad Jude, who is running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, raised only $41,000, which is bad enough already. $25,000 of that came from a self-loan and has not disclosed a single donor's name on his campaign finance report, because he claims that the rest of the $16,000 was all from unitemized donations.
Ooh. That's rough.
That is very rough.
So my OGs goes out to Tad Jude, his campaign manager, his compliance manager, and his finance director.
And those donations were from 1947, and it's merely inflation got him up to that.
Right around the same time the DFL was founded by Ken Martin.
Exactly.
And he bought his first suit, Tad Jude.
And his last suit also. It's the same one.
Last one.
All right. Ken, who is your You Betcha for the week?
My You Betcha goes out to Gender Affirming Care.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
This week marks 1 year since we passed and signed into law the Gender Affirming Care law here in Minnesota, which protects our trans community, of course, and helps build inclusive state, inclusive communities, and I'm just so proud of it. We are one of just a handful of states that recognize the immense value and contributions of trans people in our communities, and instead of trying to, like other states are, trying to push them out of the conversation, push them out of our neighborhoods and communities, we've made a statement, a really powerful statement, that we believe that all human lives have dignity, and all people have dignity, and all people are welcome in the state of Minnesota. And I couldn't be more proud of Minnesota for passing this last year. And so, you know, you betcha, as we celebrate the 1 year anniversary of our gender affirming care law.
That's a good one. That's a very good one, Ken. What about your OGs for the week?
My OGs goes out to No Labels.
Oh, geez.
The founder of No Labels, which tried to recruit a third-party spoiler candidate, said recently that the No Labels movement was like Pearl Harbor before they could get a candidate in the race and off the ground. And not really a good analogy, of course. Pretty despicable, to be honest with you. But I will say, there's no doubt that they failed miserably in their attempt, thank God, although we do see other third-party candidates on the ballot, Robert Kennedy to be exact. But this No Labels, much vaunted No Labels movement, which was supposed to be, the great moderating force, couldn't even find someone to run on their ticket.
You know, can you say that, like, saying that No Labels was Pearl Harbor is not an apt analogy? But if you go to the Pearl Harbor Memorial in Hawaii, they actually have a monument there to No Labels. Like, they have a whole section memorializing.
A new part of their tour.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing.
The contributions of No Labels to their sacrifice to our country.
Thank you, No Labels, for nothing.
Wow. Who snuck attacked them? That's what I want to know.
There you go. Young William, what do you got?
I'm going to, my You Betcha for the week is the city of Minneapolis.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Despite the Republican attempts to say it's a hellhole and it's despicable, I was out and about in Minneapolis all weekend, and it was incredible. The weather is beautiful, for one, which certainly helped. Everything was bustling. There are people everywhere. There's almost nowhere to park in like the Northeast area. Then me and a friend took a canoe out. We hit four different lakes in the city. We stopped at the new pavilion on Bede Makoska. It's absolutely beautiful. Tons of people there, bikes out everywhere. And then it was just a beautiful, amazing weekend out in the city.
Yeah. And, you know, it's good to get back outside and, you know, be out in nature again, of course. But I think Minneapolis is, and the Twin Cities generally, are such an underrated jewel in this country. And, you know, we see that with people who move here. Yeah, it's had some rough spots in the last few years, of course, after Floyd was murdered. A really important, racial conversation and reconciliation that was sparked here that was so important. But, you know, as it relates to downtown springing back, we're seeing businesses reopened after the pandemic, restaurants, and, you know, there's just a lot more opportunity to enjoy the downtown again. And we'd encourage people to get to Minneapolis, get to St. Paul, both vibrant downtowns that have a lot to offer.
Get to rural Minnesota, Shoreview. Yep. Potentially.
All and if the- you really, really want to go super far out, come down to Eagan.
That's right. That's right.
Will, who does your OGs go for?
My OGs goes out to the Star Tribune comment section.
Oh, geez.
It's a cesspool.
Yep.
It is basically Twitter on one website, all just kind of like compacted. And they allegedly have people moderating. But last week there was a profile on Minnesota State Senator Lindsey Port and how she spending the rest of session remotely, having to remotely vote because she has long COVID. And it hit her bad. I mean, you should read the article, and there's so much to it, and it's really
she has a cane.
Walks around with a cane, yes. And it was really, and she talked about how difficult it was. And, you know, the Star Tribune comment is such a cesspool, and hopefully nobody like really reads it, but I wish they could get that cleaned up a little bit. And yes, free speech and everything, but some of the stuff there is on that section is so horrible. So yeah. Don't read the comments.
Well, and this is the problem with politics these days, right? And why it's hard to get anyone to run for office, because the type of vitriol that elected officials face, is just beyond the pale, right? This, you know, Lindsey Port has been a fantastic public servant. Yep. And unfortunately, she came down with COVID and it impacted her. She has long COVID, as you mentioned. Right. It's very debilitating and it's progressively getting worse. And to attack her for still trying to be a public servant, you know, the easy thing to do would just be to quit, right? But she's not going to do that because she's a fighter and she believes in what she's doing. And, you know, she's asking for a very small accommodation, which is to just vote remotely. It's just complete and utter bullshit that the Republicans and these far-right trolls would be attacking her the way they do.
It's
you're right. Don't read any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's really nasty stuff.
I think you've said that to me before. Yeah, stop reading the comments.
Don't read the comments. There's nothing good for me.
Had to advise more than one elected official in the Star Tribune comments section in the past.
Indeed.
All right. With that, we're going to take a break and bring you the facts of Vlad.
Take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of
Vlad.
The facts of
Vlad.
When the world never seems to be living up to your dreams, and suddenly you're finding out the facts of
Vlad.
Longtime CD5 Congressman Martin Olav Szabo. Before he was congressman, he was renowned for in the 70s being Minnesota House Speaker and along with then Senate Majority Leader Nick Coleman, passing a progressive agenda that's in many ways similar to what we were able to get done last year. That Nick Coleman was the father of St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman and longtime Pioneer Press columnist Nick Coleman.
When the world
Vlad.
Welcome back to DFL Trivia with your host, State Party DFL Chairman Ken Martin.
That was very respectful.
In case you didn't know.
Yes. Thank you, Will. Yes. Thank you so much.
The pause was because he was debating whether to be respectful.
Yeah, it was an on-the-fly decision.
There you go. Okay, so welcome back, trivia fans. We are back with your favorite segment, of course, and last week's question was as follows. Arizona was not even a state when their 1864 abortion ban was passed. How many years after 1864 did it take for Arizona to become a state? And with this week's answer, of course, we're going to throw it over to Madison Groh. Madison, how many years?
The answer is 1912 was the year that Arizona became a state.
Very, 1912. Very interesting. Well, there was one correct answer. Congratulations to Brandon C. From St. Paul, Minnesota. Congratulations, Brandon C. And this week's question is as follows. This weekend had the most DFL conventions of any weekend to date. How many DFL conventions were held on this past weekend?
That's a good
one. Can I drop a quick fact? We're actually having a trivia fundraiser April 30th for all of our trivia fans. So go on the DFL website to find more information. It's hosted by Julie Blaha.
How much did Nora pay you to say that?
Nothing, but I just remembered it, and Melanie put a Slack looking for trivia questions.
We have to somehow incorporate Vlad into that trivia. The fact of Vlad, maybe he's just his own team. That'd be interesting. Send in your answers to podcast at dfl.org. Send them to Darwin, and we will be back next week.
I'll tell you, it was one hell of a show.